Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome along. It's a World Book Day special of writer's routine, because in theory, everyone on the planet is celebrating the thing that we love most in the world. I kind of thought it best that we get involved too. My name's Dan Simpson. Hello, thanks for giving us a download. Now, over the last year, we've had some incredible authors on the show, and I figured that today is a fine moment, World Book Day, to reflect and think back to some of the best advice that we've heard in the last 12 months. So on the way, we've got the writing routines, just the writing routines, what the show says, nothing more, nothing less, from, in reverse order, Mark Billingham, Bridget Collins, Tim Marshall, Helen Fields, Garrod Conley, Cecilia Ahern, and we start with international bestseller, Edinburgh's own Ian Rankin. And we talk about what happens from the moment he wakes up to the moment he goes back to bed on a day when he is sitting down to write.
First thing when I wake up is I go and get coffee and the paper, and then I read the paper cover to cover, then I do the Sudoku, killer Sudoku, then I do the kind of polygon, the kind of word puzzle, then I do the cryptic crossword, then I take a break, then I check my emails, and then eventually I think, oh, I better start writing. So by about 11 o'clock, I'm probably starting to write. No, on a good day, I'll write straight through. I won't even break for lunch. If I do break for lunch, it'll be a cup of soup. You know, it'll just be some soup heated up in a microwave. If I need a break, I'll go for a walk. If I'm in Cromarty, that walk will be along the seafront. I might go back to the cafe and have another coffee. I might go to the pub and have half pint of beer. Go back to the house and start again and just keep writing through until 6 or 7 o'clock. And then break for dinner. And on a really good day, I'll go back after dinner. Now, some days aren't good. Some days you sit down at the computer and you think, I've got nothing. Nothing's coming. I'm having to force the words out. It doesn't feel natural. It's not flowing. It's stuttering. No. Walk away. I'll walk away and I'll just do something else. I'll read a book. I'll go for a walk. I'll just do anything but think about the book. And a good day can start at 8 p.m. at night. So, you know, you sit down at 8 and think, I'll give it one last go. Oh, hang on a minute. Maybe this is what should be happening. And the writing starts to flow and you find yourself midnight, 1 a.m, you've done a solid day's work, but you've not started till late at night.
On days when you are starting to write at 8 p.m, will you ever temper yourself at all? If it is pushing 2 a.m. now and you're cracking through it, will you think, well, I might need to go to bed at some point, or do you just, if it's coming, let it go?
When I was a young man, full of vim and vigour, I would just keep going, you know. But now, if I do that, if I write into the night, the next morning I'm shattered. Takes me a while to recover. So I would rather just say, no, I'm going to stop about 8 o'clock, I'll stop, or 9 o'clock on a, you know, if I've been going all day, I'll stop and not go and do another session. Whereas when I was young, I'd think, oh, I'll do a late night session on top of the daytime session. The thing is, when I was young, I was having to write 2 books a year just to survive, just to make enough money to live on. So I was having to really push the words out. And having trained as a journalist, I could do that. You know, I thought nothing of doing, let me think, what would I mean, even now, a decent day, a good day would be 3,000 to 3,500 words a day, every day. And I'm talking 7 days a week. So that's 20,000 words a week, which means in 5 weeks, you've got a 100,000 word novel.
Do you ever take a day off?
Not if I'm working, no, because I'll start to forget stuff, because I don't have many notes at the beginning. And a crime novel is very complex. It's very interconnected, interlocked pieces. if I take a day off, I'll forget what's going on. I'll forget. I'll come back to the work face and look at the screen and go, oh, hang on a minute, where did I go from here? And I'll forget connections between people. I'll forget stuff that I've got to put in, red herrings that I need to add, subplots or where they're going. And because I've not taken a lot of notes, a lot of structural notes before I start writing, the first draft is me actually doing that. It's me creating a skeleton on top of which I'm going to put some meat later on. So it's kind of it's the spine of the story. Does it work? Does it stand up? And I know as little as my cop. So when my cop starts and there's a murder or there's a body, I don't know who done it. I have no idea who done it when I start the book. And the first draft is me getting to know the characters and how they might relate to this and who might have done it and why they might have done it. And the story tells me what? The story gives me the answers as I go through it.
Well, mine is very structured, you know, because I publish every autumn. So I start writing in January. It's due at the end of May. I edit for the summer and then it's published in the autumn. So that overall, it's very structured. And then when I'm writing, I usually write about 4 days a week, probably Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Because I'm quite intense, I do like the Wednesday to do other things. I'm probably at my office by 9:15. I like to have a cup of tea and light a candle. And really, it's just about writing. You know, I think the mornings are sometimes slow. It takes a while to warm up my brain. And the afternoons can be, you know, as it's getting closer to 5 or 5:30, it can be, oh, I don't have enough time, but I wasted 2 or 3 in that morning. So, but, you know, as a writer, every day is different. Some days that you could just be doing so many emails and phone calls and things like that, either interviews or, you know, with lovely publishers. And other days, it's just about the writing. So I think every day is different, but it's most important to try and focus on the writing. To be more specific, because that's what you want, every time I write, I will write a chapter. So I will never begin a chapter and put the pen down without finishing and leave the office. So I'll write a chapter in each sitting, which could take 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And then I could spend another week just fixing up that chapter, but each time I sit down to write, I write a chapter. It must have its own beginning, middle, and end. And when that's complete, it's complete. You know, sometimes it could be a page, sometimes it could be just one thought, you know, and then you move on to the next one. But I don't know. I don't go by word count.
This is like my favorite stuff to talk about.
Please, go ahead.
You know how writers will be at an event and someone will ask about process and writers will like roll their eyes? I'm just like, mine light up. I get very excited when we talk about
process. Well, I'm very excited then, Garrett. Go ahead.
So when I'm in my good modes, which is like, you know, sitting down to write every day and I'm on schedule, I actually wake up usually at 4:30 in the morning. And I find this to be essential because there's this mysterious thing that happens when you wake up at 4:30 in the morning, which is like no one else is awake. There's almost no sound, even in New York. And it feels like you're doing something almost forbidden, like no one else is doing it. So there's this sense of isolation. And I take about 30 minutes before I start writing, sometimes an hour if I'm feeling sort of lazy or tired. But I really allow myself to indulge in reading good poetry and sometimes prose that sounds like poetry. Like I've been recently reading Juno Barnes. Do you know her? She wrote a really strange novel, actually. It was called Nightwood, and it's this one of the first like big lesbian novels. It was actually touted by a lot of poets at the time as an important novel. But the language sounds like poetry, and it almost doesn't make sense. Like, you read it, you have to read it 5 billion times, and you still don't understand it. So I've been reading that lately, and I'll sort of start reading it, I'll make coffee, and then slowly sip my coffee and allow myself to enter into that world. And I can't read anything that's too perfectly polished. Like, if I read something like Virginia Woolf, for example, I would just be like, why am I writing? You know? So I like things that are weird or things that I could never do in my own prose.
That's interesting because I would imagine a lot of writers would like to read some of the best there is. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm trying to get up to the scratch of. But you find the reverse of that. You think it's almost too daunting.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I guess maybe I don't mean the best there is, but more like the best there is within your tradition. So I like to write like Virginia Woolf. I mean, that's my goal eventually. But if I read Virginia Woolf before I try to write like Virginia Woolf, then I'll just be like, why am I doing this? Because it's obvious that I'm not as good as her. So I like to read a lot of different things that I would never think of writing. So Juno Barnes is one of those writers. She's just so unusual, and she has these long monologues from characters that make almost no sense, and they combine all of this strange philosophy that I've never heard of. So I love that. And then at around 5 or 5:30, I sit down on my ugly couch, and I just start, like, I might read over what I'd written the day before, like maybe a few pages. And then I like to enter into the scene through some sort of image or some sort of sound that I'm really interested in. And perhaps most importantly for me, and this is going to be strange to explain, but I've been doing this thing since I was about 4 years old, where I take a string and a pencil, or two strings, and I move them in front of my face, like, sort of repeatedly.
Are the strings tied to the pencil?
I do like to tie them to the pencil.
So it's almost like a metronome?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens with them?
So I sort of move it in front of my face over and over again, almost like you would see, like, a cat sort of...
I was going to say, yeah. this mm-hmm. brings to mind a kitten straight away.
Yeah, and I love cats, so it makes sense. And so I'll sort of move it across my field of vision until I no longer really see what's in front of me, and I can enter into my imagination, and usually it's visual. That sounds crazy, but I actually have I had some friends who have studied these kinds of repetitive behaviors before, and they said that it's actually a kind of self-hypnosis, that people do this sometimes.
It looks like a family day in the morning, because one of the reasons that I like writing is because it gives me time with the children. So I have the whole child chaos thing to start with. So my head is kind of a bit of a jumble. And quite often these days I'll go for a walk. So I'll drop the children to school, go for a walk, clear my head, calm down, get the kind of minutiae of family life out of my brain. During which time I'm also thinking about what I'm going to do that day, what I'm going to be achieving. And I'm quite an organized writer these days. So usually on any given day, I'll have a plan that's been drawn up a couple of weeks earlier. So I know what I've got to do on any given day. And I have a very, very detailed schedule of words. So nothing is really left to chance. So on a weekly basis, I'll write 5 days a week, and I will have to produce usually 2,500 words in my writing day. So I know when I sit down in the morning that I need to produce 2,500 words. I can't give up writing until I've done that. And if I haven't done it by the time I have to pick the children up from school, I have to come back to it afterwards and carry on. I drink a lot of tea. I eat too many biscuits. And I spend too much time on Twitter. So it's really a question of self-discipline, and I am disciplined about making sure that I achieve what I need to achieve, because at the end of the day, it's a job. It's a job like any other job, and nobody else goes to work thinking, oh, I'll see if I'm in the mood for it. I'll see how it feels when I get there, you know? And actually, too many people think writing is kind of this lovely thing where you can drift in and drift out of it, and are you in the right mood? And that's just rubbish, because we have deadlines. We're trying to earn money. We have other things that we need to do. And so the discipline is incredibly important, because, of course, you know, from when you get the idea for a book approved to when you stop, usually your editor isn't kind of on top of you or checking what you're doing. So the need for self-discipline is much greater than in any other job, really. And my day is very much about I have a 6-hour day to achieve what I need to achieve. It's more about clarity with writing, and it's more about thinking clearly in advance what you're going to do. And I know that some writers are very, very specific planners, and other people kind of go with the flow. And I've done both between books. It is easier if you've got a good, clear plan. So quite often I'll have a chapter plan when I start the book, and I'll say, right, it's going to be roughly 40 chapters. Within each chapter, I need to achieve a certain amount, and this is where it's going to go. And the easy thing with that is, even when that doesn't work out, I can see the chapter ahead and I can see where it's not going to work out. So I'll get to the next point on my document and go, actually, this chapter was supposed to be X, but I can see now that that's not going to work because I know what's coming afterwards, and so I need to replace it with Y. And it does work like that, because it allows you a lot greater control and full planning over the book. That said, the nice thing about writing, certainly with writing a series, which is what I'm doing, is that things will crop up that I put into book one and I'll suddenly think, oh, do you know what? I can suddenly use the idea from book one. I didn't really kind of, you know, close that down properly and I can pull that out. So I think that's where that kind of being able to be flexible and pick ideas up and pull things in really comes into its own.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, the routine is often, I get up and I go out for breakfast. I mean, it's such a luxury to have someone bring you something and then take it away after you've finished it. Even if you do have to pay for that privilege, it's great. I just cannot bring myself to make myself coffee, tea and toast in the morning. Now, obviously, it costs, but I've been fortunate enough recently to, you know, sell one or two books, and that's less of a worry. So that is a routine. I'll either bike up to the high street or walk up. And then I'll either go on to something, to a, you know, a school if I'm giving a talk there, or occasionally go off to do an interview, or I'll come back and start ploughing through emails. Because as a non-fiction writer, I'm still ploughing through. I subscribe to various current affairs and international relations websites, and you know, I do have to get across them all to keep riding that wave, not of headlines, but that wave of the underlying things that are going on across the world. So I subscribe to all sorts of websites from different parts of the world. And I don't necessarily read all the articles, but I certainly read, I read a sort of presse of them or the headlines. I'm never ready until I've got a clear idea of what I want to say at the beginning, going through the middle and to the end. I mean, that's obviously not like fiction. I mean, as I understand it, some fiction writers, you know, have a very vague idea, but they, I mean, how wonderful. They're actually telling themselves the story as they go along, and they veer off, and sometimes they do things they didn't know they were going to do. That's wonderful. That's so creative. I'm not like that at all. I will have arrived at my concept. Furthermore, I at book level, I have to break it down into the sections. Okay, at the beginning, I am going to do this, and this chapter will be the introduction in which I will sum up. The first chapter will be this, because I think it's the one that's the best example of everything I'm trying to say. I will then turn to this country, if you were doing it chapters by country, because there is this overlap with what came before, until you get to the end. Only when I've done that structure, when I've built that road, or if you like, a roadmap, at that point, I will sit down and write the first word. And that, to me, is the hardest. It was the same when I was in television, even with a 2-minute or 2-minute 30 report. Forgive me, I was actually quite a good writer for television news. There is a real skill to it, which is not to put down what you're seeing. I mean, people do that, you know. This red car arrived on this road. Yeah, I can see that. You know, there is a real skill to it. And forgive me, I was quite good at it. But I sometimes used to just stare there for sort of 5-10 minutes, and you've got a bulletin with 50 minutes left and think, where do I start? What am I going to say? But the moment that I've got that structure and then that first sentence goes down, I am off. I'm off and running. At that point, it becomes easier.
So I wake up, I don't have an alarm. I wake up when I wake up, or possibly when my husband wakes up, if he's noisy. And then I'll go and get a cup of tea, have a cup of tea in bed. And then I'll have, yeah, then, so I have breakfast in bed, and I'm normally reading at that point. Like, most of my reading gets done in the morning before I start work. Then I would probably start work at about 10 or 10:30. And I'll make myself another cup of tea, go and sit down at my desk, and then probably procrastinate for half an hour with email and Facebook and Twitter, which I didn't used to be on Twitter, but my publisher told me I had to. And it's so addictive. Yeah, and then I'll probably start work actually at about 11:30. And what I aim to do is write 1,000 words. So that sometimes on a good day that'll happen in like an hour and a half, and on a bad day it obviously won't get done at all, but I'll kind of sit there until, you know, I'll sit there until lunch, and then I'll have lunch, and then at about 2:30 I'll kind of give up and go and do some form of exercise, which I think is, I find that really helpful, because, you know, it kind of, I can feel the blood kind of going to my brain and the ideas starting to work again.
Well, I've spoken to many authors who say exactly that, who say, you know, the story isn't written fingers to the keyboard. The story's mainly written when you're out doing other things, and all you're doing is just getting it out then. Is that it? So you go off to exercise. Do you then do anything else in the evening just to keep things ticking over?
Not normally. I think the nicest thing is when I want to go back to it, and, you know, there are days where, you know, where I or sometimes, you know, if an idea has come to me while I'm exercising, then sometimes I'll go back to it, like if I've kind of broken the block, as it were. But normally I would, actually, what do? I have a nap in the afternoons.
You're spending all your day in bed, I'm
learning. I know, I know. I probably do spend most of my time in bed if I looked at it kind of through a diagram.
There's something in the very word routine that makes me kind of shudder a little bit, because actually most writers I know don't have one, you know, not a proper one. I mean, it's not a 9-to-5 job, you know. I very, very much mistrust writers who say, well, I write from 9 to 11, then I have a sandwich and a cup of tea, and then I sit down again at 11:30. It's not like that. At least it's really not like that for me. I may sit down at my desk at 9 o'clock and actually do bugger all, except think about stuff, look out the window, deal with email and Twitter and business, and then actually sit down and do my day's work at midnight. Because you're writing the book all the time. I mean, I know I said I can actually only do the writing, the physically do the writing in my office, but I'm writing the book when I'm on the bus or walking the dogs or having a shower or pushing a trolley around the supermarket, because the book's in your head all the time. You know, when you get to your computer and sit down and put it down, that's kind of typing. but there is no routine, because it really isn't a structured day for me in that way. I want to get a certain number of words done every day. You know, every writer talk about the magical 1,000 words, and I'm very happy if I can do that, even happy if I can do 2,000 words. But I might, like I say, I might do that between midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning, having done very little for the rest of the day. So it's not very structured.
So without structure, I guess the only reason that I'm quite focused on a routine is because I'm aware that for some people, creativity needs to be harnessed. And for something like writing, where, as you say, it's going on in your brain the whole time, but to physically sit down and get it done on your keyboard, in front of your computer, is there anything that you do that you find helps you get that part of the work done?
Well, I mean, one of the things I mentioned early on was getting distracted by looking out the window. And actually, I work better when it's dark. I do generally work better when it's when night has fallen. I mean, for several reasons. Firstly, very practically, the house is much quieter. You know, in terms of domestically, there's less people running about in the house and doing stuff. I'm not getting emails arriving, and, you know, and I know, yeah, I could always engage Freedom or one of those programs on my computer and cut myself off. I don't have that much willpower. And I'm looking out the window at darkness. I'm looking out at nothing, and it kind of suits what I'm writing, really. So yeah, I mean, if I'm going to be at my most creative, I suppose it would be then. But actually, you have to be incredibly good at time management. And I'm not talking about on a daily basis, I'm talking about on a yearly basis. I deliver a book a year, and have done for nearly 20 years, a book every year, and I've never missed a deadline. It will always get delivered. But that's not writing every day. And that's knowing that I've got to spend a certain part of every year touring and promoting the book that came out last year, or going to a different country and promoting the book they've just published. So I've got to work, I've got to look at a diary and go, well, I know I'm not going to get any writing done in September, so I've got to make sure I've got enough done in August. So that, do you know what I mean?
I absolutely know, I have to
kind of manage my time, and I've got a pretty good sort of inbuilt calendar where I can look at the progress of a book that I'm writing and go, okay, well, I'm 50,000 words into that. So do you know what? I'm about halfway through that. I've still got 8 months of the year to deliver that. I'm fine.
And that's it. Our World Book Day special of Writer's Routine. Thank you so much for giving us a listen. If you enjoyed it, and if when you were listening, you figured that you've missed some of those authors, it's fine. We've got them all free for you to listen to wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also find them at writersroutine.com. Now, if the place where you get your podcasts from is Apple, I'd love for you to leave us a review, by the way, over there. See, as a quick thank you for this little bonus podcast that you've had. It doesn't normally happen. Go over to Apple Podcasts, find Writer's Routine, and drop us a 5-star review if you can. Leave your name as well, and then I'll say hello in the next few weeks. And we'll be back really soon. Tomorrow, in fact, if you're listening to this on actual World Book Day, chatting to debut novelist Harriet Tice. I'll see you then. Bye.